Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm a congregational consultant with Troubling the Waters.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the Director of Formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
And we're back for this week leading up to the fourth Sunday of Easter.
Doesn't it feel like we were just in Lent?
I think so. I don't know. It was just spring break, so my brain is a bunch of mush. Just a big ball of mush.
Spring break with small children.
Plus, the moon's going to eat the sun today, so that's apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and once people listen to this, we will know that, in fact, the sun has reemerged and right. The world is safe.
Science.
Yes.
Thank
correct.
God. I was an astronomy major for 1.5 years at the University of Florida.
Huh.
Yeah.
Things I didn't know.
There you go.
Fun Facts with David.
And this has been Fun Facts with David to start the show. We are excited to talk about this gospel for this upcoming week, Sunday, April 21st in 2024. Again, Easter 4 in year B. It will be from John chapter 10. This is when we get John sprinkled in, you know, in Easter a lot, actually. So that's fun. Yeah, a little sprinkle, a little pinch of John. You don't want too much.
No.
No. Just enough to season the pot. But before we get to that, we have a God sighting.
We do.
That was sent to us.
That's right.
Via email.
Yes.
And you all can send emails to us, too. Did you know that? faith2go@edsd.org.
Yeah.
But this one is...
It's from Dr. Kathy Wilder.
Oh, Dr. Kathy Wilder.
That is correct, who is the executive director of Camp Stevens and a Faith to Go All-Star.
And a doctor of education.
Correct. Kathy emailed us right after our Easter episode and said, thank you so much for your podcast this week and the topic of mystery and leaving things unfinished. As a box checker myself, that's a very hard thing to do, to embrace the unknown in the mystery. Mm-hmm. First of all, I need you to know that Unwritten is the song that plays when people call my cell phone. It started as a song between myself and a friend years ago when we were at more of a crossroads in both our lives. As you know, it is also in the Camp Stevens songbook now. While walking the dogs and listening to the podcast, I was up by the water towers, taking in the view when my phone rang, playing Unwritten, and guess who it was? It was my friend. When everything lines up like that, I know that God is deeply present in my life. I believe human connection and the people we love are the way that God shows up in our lives, bringing support and joy when we need it most. That certainly includes y'all. Thanks for all you do, and happy Easter.
Important updates for
yeah.
this season.
Yeah. Well, and that includes Kathy for us,
yay,
a way that God
Kathy.
Shows up in our lives, and Camp Stevens, too.
That's right. That's right. On the uncertainty, mm-hmm. the rest is still unwritten.
And now we'll be singing that again.
I know.
It was like a week and a half of my singing that after yeah. that episode was recorded.
I had it out of my head, and now it's back. Thank you so much, Kathy, for sharing. We love that. And we would also love to hear from all of you. If you've got a God sighting that you'd like to share, or if you'd like to share any questions or comments or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, any of your interesting stories from your ministry context, whatever you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, faith2go@edsd.org. You can contact us on Instagram @faith2go, or you can tag us or comment on a post or direct message us. And all of those ways of getting in contact with us are listed in the description for this episode. And now we're going to get to our gospel discussion again for this upcoming Sunday, April 21st. It's from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Charlotte's going to read it, and then I'll have some context, and we'll each have a point. Take it away, Charlotte. Now. You can read the gospel now.
This gospel is about sheep, and you are a turkey. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father.
All right. Jesus, the sheep. This is from John chapter 10. Again, the first 10 verses of John chapter 10 are also Jesus talking about sheep and shepherds and sheep gates and gatekeepers. At various points in these 12, 11 verses, he is a gate. He is a shepherd. He is the sheepfold. He's just a lot of different things. Jesus is in Jerusalem right now, interestingly. It's really crazy how much time Jesus spends in Jerusalem in John's gospel, you know? Where in the other gospels, it's really like, it's very important that there's this moment in which Jesus moves from Galilee to Jerusalem.
Turns his face.
Yeah. In John's gospel, Jesus is just there all the time. He's kind of like in and out of the temple in Jerusalem. Like right before this, he's talking and teaching in Jerusalem. He's healing people in Jerusalem. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and this is actually towards the end of his ministry, because it's really like John, like three chapters later, that he starts his farewell discourse and does the Passover meal. Or at least is in Jerusalem for Passover and has the Last Supper with his friends. So that's where we are in the gospel. Charlotte has the first point. Actually, just one other thing. There are seven I am statements in John, and this is one of them.
That so I just am good the good shepherd.
Yeah, I am the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. I am the vine. I am the da-da-da. So this is one. I don't know how many more we'll get, but we can keep track.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Take it away.
Excellent. So I was thinking about the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand. And so the good shepherd is one of the parables in Godly Play. And in it, it's the good shepherd and the ordinary shepherd is how that story is told. I love the progression of it within that story, because in Godly Play, it is when the good shepherd takes you to the green grass and by the cool waters and through the dark places and gets back to the fold. It's that version of the story. And the ordinary shepherd lets them out and doesn't worry about where they go.
Yeah.
And doesn't look for the one that gets lost and runs away, which is similar to this.
Just working for the weekend.
Yeah. Runs away when the wolf comes.
Right.
And so, but in this one, what I was thinking about, what I noticed in that, because it was, again, that language of ordinary that kept coming up with me, is that in here, it is the good shepherd and the hired hand. Mm. And so if we think about those two things side by side, they are, in fact, supposed to be doing the same job, taking care of the sheep. And yet the difference being, or I imagine the difference being, that the shepherd is somebody who feels that is their calling. That's what they want to do with their life, is care for the sheep. And the hired hand could be hired to do any job. And in this case, was hired to take care of the sheep. He also could have been hired to take care of the pigs or hired to work in the orchard. He was hired to do a job, to make his money, and go. And when you are just hired for a job, whatever that job might be, I think that the lack of care is kind of part of it, because you are just there for your paycheck. It is not something in which you are vested, in which you care deeply, vastly different than the way the good shepherd is in all of this. And yet there can be harm that is caused through lack of care. So even just in the difference of the two behaviors, we automatically have a relationship where harm can be caused. And so I was thinking about, well, then how do you know the difference in these situations between, like, when you encounter these people, these shepherd-like roles out in the world? And I think it's because we have the example of Jesus, and that we can automatically discern, or if not automatically, but if we pay attention, we listen closely, we watch for words and actions and behaviors, we can see the difference in how a hired hand behaves and how Jesus has shown his ministry and his life in the way that he is in relationship with people. And in here, we also have that Jesus says, and one of the things that we can know for sure is that I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. And so whenever we hear people who are shepherd-like, hired hands, shepherd-like,
okay,
preaching, separation, and people being left out, othering of people, well, that's not Christ-like behavior. Because Jesus says, well, right here, he says that he has other sheep, but also Jesus was always looking out for those that were left out or left behind or on the margins, not through any fault of their own, but because society had pushed them there. Hired hands had pushed them there, had decided that their worth was not equal to that of the other people that were welcomed within the sheepfold. And so I was thinking about it through this lens of both the fact that there can be lack of care and therefore unintentional harm that is done, because when you aren't vested, you don't care as deeply, you aren't watching out for all of the dangers of this world that might affect the people that are within your care, but also through the lens of the people who think that they are following the Good Shepherd, but have gotten wrapped up in their own importance and therefore are causing harm, perhaps intentionally, to other people. Because that is the thing about power, is that power only works when you take power from somebody else. It is never wanting to be in right relationship with other people and to bring people up who are hurting or who have been separated and to bring them back into the fold of care. It is always that in order to lift your own power, to maintain it or to increase it, mm-hmm. is by shoving other people down, mm-hmm. by naming them as other and as separate. And so I was thinking about it from this lens of that the hired hand has the opportunity to follow and to choose to listen more closely to what the Good Shepherd comes, and then maybe to discern a new path for themselves, or to either through lackadaisical lack of care allow inadvertent harm, or to choose to try to raise their own lot in life and then cause intentional harm to other people. And I think that those of us who are connected to churches, who are Christians, that we have discernment of our own to do about the voices that we hear and whether those voices are elevating power and marginalizing people, mm-hmm. or whether they are constantly looking out for the sheep, mm-hmm. whether it is the sheep that look like us or the sheep that look differently or the sheep that are in different parts of the world, or regardless of what this sheep metaphor takes for us, and just wanting the best for everybody, mm-hmm. naming that we are beloved of Jesus, regardless of all of those things, and that we are called to health and wholeness for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the idea of laying down one's life, what the Good Shepherd is laying down their life in order to protect. And yeah, obviously it's the sheep, but specifically I was struck by the phrase, the wolf comes and the hired hand leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So the Good Shepherd lays down their life to protect the sheep. And the good Shepherd lays down their life not just to protect the sheep from being killed by the wolf, but also from being scattered. Mm. You know, there is so much, like you're saying, about like the voices of people in power are voices that are intentionally, sometimes, and unintentionally sometimes, trying to scatter people. And like, I feel like we are so scattered in the way that we think about our individual lives. Like we think about ourselves as kind of these totally separate people leading totally separate lives. The way that we pursue things so often is in that very same way. Like, I need to make sure that I'm okay, that mm-hmm. I have my own personal safety, or safety for my family maybe, and that we don't have this like communal sense of wellness. And when I say we, I'm thinking just kind of like in general, like culturally, at least American culture, probably Western culture as well. It's this like real rugged individualism that I think is the scattering that Jesus doesn't really want. You mm-hmm. know, like you can be alive and scattered and really not be living very well, like really be sad. Like, how many people are just so lonely? They might be very safe and secure, but like being safe and secure and lonely is not really living, you know? And so I'm struck by the fact that like Jesus not only cares about the physical safety of the sheep, but also like their togetherness. You know, that like to be scattered is akin to death with the wolf, because you're going to die in the wilderness if you're just all by yourself, you know? So like staying together, having the sense of belonging in a community is part of that feeling of safety, mm-hmm. and also allows for a kind of thriving that we can never find when we're all alone. We're going to spend so much of our time and energy trying to survive. Like, think about a sheep in the wilderness. Like, how much of its energy is it using to stay alert, you know, to stay alert to danger and to finding resources and things that it wouldn't have to use if it was just around other mm-hmm. sheep, you know, in a sheepfold with a good shepherd, right? It's like tangential to your point, because I'm thinking about, like, who are the voices that are scattering us, you know? And then who are the voices that are trying to unify us and bring us together. Unity in this situation, I don't think means that we all think the same thing or believe the same thing. Like, there are other sheep and other sheepfolds. You know, it's like we're capable of being united and also not the same, not the exact same, you know, not just duplicates of one another. Obviously, like, I think that has implications for how we think about other religious communities and how we interact with people that have different religious belief systems than us, but it's also ideological in any way. You know, like, do we have the capacity to feel united to people that we disagree with? And are we capable of being in the same sheepfold as people that we don't agree with, that we have differences of opinion on? And are we able to recognize that, like, that it's possible that in Jesus's view, when he's talking about himself as the good shepherd, this kind of like cosmic being, he's talking about being like the Christ, this cosmic Christ that imbues all things, all life, that has like this universal idea of love and safety and belonging. That like wherever we see love and safety and belonging, there is Christ mm-hmm. there. Not necessarily that there's Christians there, right? But there's like, there is the universal Christ operating there, so that we can see a group of people that has a different religious ideology than we do, that has a different political ideology as we do. If we see like thriving in safety and care and love, transformation and growth, that maybe Christ is there in a way that we wouldn't think specifically like a Christian perspective. So I don't think Jesus is saying there's other Christians out there that aren't Christians yet. Don't worry, we're going to make everyone Christians. I just don't think that's true. I think like Jesus values difference more than that. In the section right after this, like the verses right after this, are about people within the Jewish community being divided about how they think about Jesus. Some are like, well, he's obviously possessed by a demon to be saying all this stuff. And the others are like, but if he's saying these things about like love and care, how could a demon-possessed person say those things? You know? So even like the immediate reaction to this is to be having a dialogue about different understandings of the same person. And so I think that like Jesus's hope is for a sense of unity that does not erase difference, a sense of community that embraces differing opinions and ideas, and the capacity to like recognize the underlying common Christ DNA in like all the things and all the communities. We can recognize where there is that fundamental work operating in the world and see Christ moving there without having to say, well, that's a Christian thing over there, and that's a Christian person over there, and that should be a Christian person over there. It just makes it more interesting. It just makes it more authentic to the diversity of creation to be able to hold those differences and at the same time recognize the ways that we're operating towards the same goals, even if we talk about them differently or think about them differently. Or maybe we're working towards different goals, and that's okay too. I think it's so nice in the world to be able to recognize that difference is an opportunity for growth and learning, transformation. And it's uncomfortable, and I don't personally like it very much, but when I'm in relationship with a person that has a very different understanding and idea of the world than me, at some point when I'm most centered, when I'm most open, then I can see, oh, I see the world more now. I see the world more clearly now because of that person. I get where they're coming from, why they are the way they are. And actually now they're changing the way I think about things. That is coming closer, I think, to some sort of like Christ consciousness, some sort of way that Jesus was seeing the world. He had such a capacity for holding difference and being in relationship with people that wanted to kill him, mm-hmm. you know? And that's an extreme example, but he had that capacity to like learn from people.
Well, and I think, David, as you were talking, one of the things that was coming up for me was like, we literally in our baptismal covenant promise to respect the dignity of every human being. Mm-hmm. And we don't promise to respect the dignity of every human being that abides by the exact rules that we say and dresses the things that we say and prays the way we do and sings the same hymns that we do with the organ at the same level that we do and all of those things, because that's not what we promise. We promise to respect the dignity of every human being. And when we hear language from people that is about sameness, that again has more to do with power than it does with God's love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could keep talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think we need to cut ourselves off at some point.
Well, and there's a whole separate podcast I would now like to have about Cosmic Shepherd Jesus. Yeah. Because when you dropped that one, I was over here being like, how is that not actually a band, Cosmic Shepherd?
Cosmic Shepherd. Well, we would love to see your renderings of Cosmic Shepherd Jesus.
I do. Please send us that art.
But first, let's recap the points. Point number one was Charlotte's about the difference between the hired hand and the good shepherd and how we can be aware of the differences operating in, you know, leaders and voices around us when we see those different intentions behind the words and actions of different people. And mine was about being scattered, being together, having a sense of belonging and unity while also, you know, holding onto our differences and allowing them to transform us in relationship. So having heard those two points, we'd love to know what your point would have been. If you've been on the pod with us this week, we'd love to know your God sightings or anything about your ministry context you'd like to share with us. Any questions or comments or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, your renderings of Cosmic
Shepherd
Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can get in contact with us in all those ways listed in the description for this episode. Do not look at the sun directly.
That's right.
And by the time you listen to this, you will either have done that or not done
You'll either have retinas or you will not.
Oh my gosh. So we're hoping, fingers crossed for all you listening in the future, that you don't look up at the sun. We'll be back next week to talk about the fifth Sunday of Easter, April 28th, 2024. And until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.